super strong, supernatural, and super bad. His punch can topple a skyscraper. His kick can split the earth in two. More destructive than an earthquake. Mightier than a tidal wave. A one-man disaster area.
42nd Street Pete.
Shot full of lead and he still ain't dead. Jump back, Jack, for your skull is cracked.
42nd Street Pete.
Well, welcome back to the Grindhouse. 2 weeks ago, we had the boy diva Rick Cataldo on, and he was saying some very derogatory comments about just about everybody, but one person in particular he was really heaping the abuse on, and that was Brittany Savage, who is right now the number one contender for the WSU world title. And I got a very irate email from Brittany, who basically wanted to come on and rebut the boy diva. So without further ado, welcome back to the show, Brittany Savage.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. You pretty much, you know the story. He basically accused you of everything except the Kennedy assassination.
Seriously. I listened to the whole entire radio show with Rick Cataldo, and something Rick was on point with, such as the fact that he did pull me under his wing when I was known as Brooke Carter. But a lot of stuff he was lying about, like the cheating and winning the J-Cup, all this stuff, this and that, which I'm going to go on about. But I think Alicia said it best a few months ago when I first decided to create the Cosmo Club. She said that guys have a way of getting into my head and twisting things around. And that's exactly what Rick Cataldo had done. He decided to tell me that it's okay to cheat. That's the only way I'll be able to win matches is if I cheat. And as long as I have him, everything will go according to plan. And he was right. Obviously, I did cheat a lot. And I decided to create the Cosmo Cup because I wanted to be a leader, because I felt that Rick was trying to become on top of everything, even above me, and I just wasn't having that whatsoever. So I decided to create the Cosmo Club, bring in Cindy Rogers and Jana. And Jana decided later on to leave and go back with Luscious Natasha. We all know the story. But however, when I finally ended the whole entire Cosmo Club, got rid of Rick Cataldo, which was the best day of my entire life, I went on to the J-Cup, and then who came out of the curtain? Rick Cataldo, because he wanted to try to take my spot in the J-Cup. And obviously, I proved Rick wrong, and I proved to Rick the reason why he should no longer be in the Cosmo Club, why there is no longer a Cosmo Club, because I no longer need him. I could do everything by myself without cheating. And I took out Rick, and I took out Cindy, and I took Jana out once again. The only one who I haven't beaten is Amy Lee, but we'll just go around that somehow. And I defeated all the girls successfully in the J-Cup, even Sassy Stephanie, who took that spirit title from around my waist, which I'm still not happy about, but I moved on to bigger and better things, because I had the tag titles with Miss April, and then I later on passed it down to Alicia when she came back. And then I had the spirit title 3 times, and I have yet to have the world title. But I don't know if you got to see the King and Queen at all, but Mercedes, I had her put the title on the line, and she defeated everyone with Julio De Niro. So, but anyway, after the King and Queen, I didn't speak up to Mercedes, but I did not attack her. So that shows that I'm changing my ways. And
you're starting to break up real bit.
Am I?
Yeah. So you came in strong for a minute. Yeah, say it again.
Okay. I did a sneak up on Mercedes Martinez during the King and Queen, so that obviously shows that I'm changing my ways, because if I wanted to, I could have hit Mercedes from behind, but I'm starting to play fair, and I'm starting to try to show everyone that I have what it takes to be WSU world champion. And come June 25th, when Mercedes walks to that ring, she better hold on very tightly to that title, because that's coming home with me. Because I've seen enough of Mercedes, and I feel like everyone's seen enough of Mercedes, and she's had that title for such a long time, and it's about time that someone takes it off of her, and I feel like that should be me. So.
Yeah, you really came. I wasn't around for the two shows. I was up in Ohio, but I had heard that it was pretty wild. I also heard you took out Jessica Havoc.
I did take out Jessica Havoc. We had a show the day after the King and Queen. It was Jessica Havoc and myself against Alicia and Mercedes Martinez. And what had happened was Mercedes and Alicia were up on us, but Jessica had pulled Alicia out to the outside. Jess got her hands on Mercedes, and when Mercedes turned around, I hit her with a front lung blower. And then I had gone for the cover, and Jess came in and pulled me off of Mercedes. And, I mean, we weren't going for the title or anything. I don't understand why Jess had a problem. We were supposed to be partners in the situation. And I got really mad, and Mercedes kicked out of Jess when she went for the cover. And then I asked Jess what her problem was. We got into a little bickering. And then when my back was turned, Mercedes rolled me up really quick and just stood there and allowed it to happen. So that kind of pissed me off because I felt like we were supposed to be on the same page, but she's too busy going after Alicia, and now she wants the world title. And if I want to prove that I deserve the world title, then I'm going to lay out any one of those girls that I have to, or boys, like, well, boy, girl, whatever Rick was. I prove a point. So even though Jess is one of the biggest girls that we have in WSU, I don't care. I'll lay anybody out.
Yeah, she had been on the show before the anniversary show, and she said in no uncertain terms she wants to be the one to pin Mercedes for the belt, that, you know, pinning anybody else wouldn't suffice. It would have to be her.
I agree, and I feel like every single girl that's in that locker room would agree as well. Like, any one of us want that title, and I feel like all of us will do whatever it takes to get that title. But Mercedes had forgotten all about me, because I was doing my own thing. I created this little stupid group, and I had the spirit title, and her and I had a little bit of a feud and a little bit of a problem in the past. And I guess once she had beaten me all those times, which she kind of, I came close to beating her for title versus title back at ICW. And I guess she had forgotten about that, and she'd forgotten about all of our problems. So now that I stood my ground and I made a point to her, maybe now she'll realize that I do have a chance. And even laying out Jessica Havoc proved that I have a chance. So.
Yeah, because, God, you know, it's like a list of who's who in the women's wrestling, who Mercedes has gone through already, you know, and retained the title. So,
right.
You know, it's like, you know, he says on any given night it can happen. So,
right.
You know. And then, you
Mercedes
know,
has seen a lot of girls.
Oh, yeah. But then you also have the thing, you also have the ever lurking evil presence of Rick, who sort of alluded last week he was going to put together another stable. He's hanging out with Sugar Freak Monique. And that's only one he brought up. But, you know, you got to remember his history, that everybody else who's gotten involved with him prior isn't around anymore, like Roxy and Antisocial and. Remember his boyfriend, Ref Hansen? They're not around anymore.
Yes. Rick is like a drug. Like, I'm not even like kidding. Like, Rick is a drug. He'll say like all this stuff that sounds good, and like you'll want to keep him around just because you like the ideas and because you're going on a bit of a winning streak, and you're just, it's like satisfying. But the last few months, Rick has cost me 3 matches plus the spirit title, and I, like you said, like Roxy Khan, Antisocial, like all these girls are no longer around, and I wasn't going to let myself get to the point that I'm no longer around because of Rick Italo. Like, no thank you. And I don't understand what Rick is talking about me cutting his hair off in his sleep, like what? But if anyone out there notices, Rick dyed his hair darker while I dyed my hair darker. And then once I went back to blonde, Rick decided to go back to blonde. So obviously Rick Cataldo is missing me a little too much that now he has to create another stable. Well, newsflash for Sugar Freak Monique, if she wants to last in this business, she needs to get rid of Rick Cataldo as quickly as possible.
He's like the Charles Manson of wrestling.
Rick, I can't even.
But you know, but he, you know, he's been around since the beginning. You know, it's sort of as sick as it may seem, but it wouldn't be the same without him. You know, he's just that. We had Todd. He drove Todd nuts when he was on the show. He was hitting on him and everything. It was great.
And then, I heard that. God, coloring Easter eggs and all that stuff. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, and the more frightening part was you had a sore throat the next week or something. So,
and then, that's a little TMI. TMI.
I don't know, but we do this. It's like, what the hell? But, you know what it is. And he thought I put Rick up to this, but I didn't even talk to Rick. Rick had just emailed me out of the clear blue because he was supposed to be on that. Remember when I had everybody on at once? That one time.
Yes, and yes, I remember. See, that's my point with Rick. Like, he just flakes out all the time, so no point in keeping him around. Come on.
Yeah. But he wanted airtime. I gave it to him, and it was like, okay. Then when I told him it was uncensored, it got even worse, but hey, it made for good radio. But you know, I just figured, you know, you deserve a chance to rebut him because he said some really, you know, down-and-out dirty things, something about you being suicidal and cutting yourself and all kinds of other crazy shit.
See, my theory is the people who talk about other people doing things, they're really the ones who are out doing those things. So I'm just going to let that one slide with what I just said, because I'm 100% normal and satisfied with my life. And Rick, on the other hand, I mean, all of us girls have gotten rid of him. No one really likes him. So as soon as Sugar Freak Monique finds that out, I don't know, maybe we'll find Rick Pitaldo somewhere, like, parading around, you know, coloring Easter eggs with whoever.
That was too funny.
Giving people sore throats. Just saying.
So what do you have, like, lined up between now and your big, you know, big title shot? Because it's about, what, 6 weeks, I think?
It is. It's actually coming very, very quickly. I've just been in the ring training my butt off, just trying out a whole bunch of new things. I actually have a match the 27th of this month at PWS, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, in Queens, New York, at the Elks Lodge, against up newcomer Nikki Six. She's brand new to WSU. I don't know if you said that you saw the J-Cop or whatever or anything. She had a match against Jessica Havoc at the J-Cop, and she decided to go to Sean the Mick and ask him for a match against me on the 27th. So if I win, I still get my title shot against Mercedes, but if she defends me, she gets that title shot instead. So I have that to look forward to, which is going to be a piece of cake. And then up until that point, just have a couple more matches and then Mercedes on the 25th. So,
yeah, it's going to come up real quick.
Yes, it is. Got the Uncensored Rumble that day too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I'll still be around for that. I'm moving to Ohio, but I'm still going to come back. I'm still going to come back for the big shows and still get everybody on the radio, you know, keep it going.
You could just take a ride out with Jessica Havoc. I mean,
that's true too.
My enemy right now.
You never know. I've been involved with this since the beginning. So, you know, I really, you know, like what you girls do. And it's just, you know, it's just such a cool promotion that I'm not about to bail out on it. I'm just going to keep it going. I just, you know, for my own sanity and financial future, I got to get the hell out of New Jersey. It just comes down to that.
Oh, yeah. The economy is terrible. Yeah. Terrible, terrible. So I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's cheaper.
Get
out
while
there.
You can.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'm not really a fan of Ohio, but do what you gotta do.
Yeah, it's cheap. I went out there. I was just checking it out. I got a pretty much a really good deal, so I can basically survive and not have to kill myself anymore. So that's what I need, you know. So
that's good, and you'll be far away from Rick Cataldo.
Unless he follows me, that could be. I don't know. Does he work? What promotions out there? Absolutely Intense is out there, I think.
Yes, I'm not too familiar about the companies, the promotions that are out there. I just know about that one that you just said, the Absolute Intense Wrestling. I just knew that one's out there. I don't really know what else because I haven't really gotten to go down that route yet. So.
Yeah, I'm probably, like I said, I'm going to come back for the big shows, but I'll, you know, still keep the radio thing going and everything. You know, it's just, you know, cool, you know, what you guys do. And I'm actually putting out a DVD, too, with...
Did you? You said this the last time, I think, when I was with the Cosmo Club.
Yeah, he just did the cover on it. I'm pretty sure you're in one of them, I think.
God, yeah,
it was so hard to, like, pick 10 matches. That was the whole thing, you know?
And yeah, what match is it, though? Well, what match would it be?
Trying to remember. I thought I wrote it down. I'm pretty sure it was one of yours, though. I picked these things. We've been bouncing them back and forth, and I had a list, but I can email you when I remember it. I'm trying to think of what it was. Damn.
Sounds good to me, either way.
You know, anyway, it just, you know... Regardless, it's just going to give the product more exposure because the guy I'm doing it with, he can get it in stores as opposed to all DVD-R. So it'll expose it with a whole new audience. And he already came up with a great cover of, like, Angel Killing Mercedes. So that's what I was thinking. I told him, I says, if you do this, it has to, like, jump off the shelf at people.
Yeah.
It can't be one of these generic, like TNA type deals, because that's exactly what it isn't. So it's going to be promoted as such. So, you know,
yeah.
Because you know, it's a thing. Like I tell people, I'm old school. I came up like in the Bruno Sammartino days and things like that, where like you know the storylines were credible. I mean, I got TNA running in the background and it's horrible. You know, but
I have no comments. Just in case.
Yeah,
I don't want to bash anyone.
Yeah. I've already said enough on the DOI that if I ever had any aspirations of getting hired by that company, they'd probably hire me just to take me out and shoot me and throw me in the Everglades. But that's not the point.
They're no longer called TNA, you know that, right?
What are they? About
that? They're called Impact Wrestling, no longer TNA.
Oh, great.
And WWE is no longer World Wrestling Entertainment, they're just WWE.
God.
Some info for you.
were you a fan of this growing up?
When I was in seventh grade, everyone was talking about wrestling. I had no idea what it was. So I went home and I checked it out. And I would watch Stone Cold. I would watch The Rock. I'd watch Chris Jericho. And I was into it just because it was like the thing to watch and everyone talked about it. So I watched it for a while, and then once I got to high school, like, it just wasn't the thing. Like, I was just focusing more on going to school, doing my work, hanging out with my friends. And then during my first year of college, my boyfriend at the time, he was a huge fan of wrestling. So we would watch, like, all the WrestleManias at his neighbor's house and for, like, 3 years, and I was just hooked. And then when I turned 21... my brother was at the gym with one of his friends training hard or whatever, and he's like, oh, I'm going to a wrestling school. And my brother knew how diehard I was into it then. So he told me about it, and I just bugged him every day. I was like, introduce me to this friend of yours. And then he gave me his number. So his friend and I were texting back and forth, and I went to go check out a wrestling school. And I've been doing it since I'm 21, so I've been doing it for like 3 years now. So that's how it basically started. But yeah, I would watch it a lot, and then I just faded out of it, and then I got back into it, and I've just been hooked since.
Yeah, you pretty much caught it when it was still really good with Austin and The Rock and Foley and all them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now it's like,
It's still good. Like, it's a lot better than other things that I've seen recently. So... I mean, they still have good storylines and stuff, but, I mean, it's a lot different than back in the old days where everyone wore, like, a singlet and, like, all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of different stuff. It's not as basic as it used to be.
Yeah, but
like,
you know...
Now you have, like...
Yeah. I know, but... all the high flying stuff, but you know what you had back then, where they were so intense that basically the whole TV show was a build up just to get you to come to the main show, which would be that Saturday night. And you wound up getting so pissed off. You wanted to go. I mean, okay, I'm talking about like the Georgia stuff, if you ever saw any of that, or Florida stuff. We actually flew down there one time to see it.
Wow.
Because that's how wrapped up we got it. Because it was like, you only had like, you know, Vince's stuff here, and Vince's stuff was just like too slow. Then you went down there and you had the Road Warriors and Kevin Sullivan and all them people. And I was like, wow. Yeah. So that's where I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, my best friend and her mom, they loved it. So, like, whenever I would go there, we would watch it. Her mom would take us to, like, all the wrestling shows. So it was definitely, like, a cool experience. Like, you get crazy, like, going there. It's just, nice to be around and see. It's like, oh, my God. I don't know. Different than watching it on TV.
Oh, yeah, people really should get out and see it live and support all this stuff, you know, WSU, and other, the indie girls thing up in Boot and that run sometimes. So, you know, people should really get out and support this, because, you know, it's one thing to buy the DVD. It's another thing to just be there and see it live, you know.
Of course, because, I mean, if you go to, like, the indie circuit, you never know who you're going to see, like, down the road on TV and stuff. So it's just cool, because then you could be like, oh, I saw that person when they were just on Andy's. Like, it's just different. It's cool.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of girls that have, you know, come out of WSU that, you know, gone up to, you know, the big time. Like, you know, your ex-partner, Miss April, went to Vince. Divina Fly, she went down to a TNA, or Impact now, to, you know.
Yeah, I was really good friends with Divina for a while. I went down to one of the schools that she was training at, in Deer Park, actually. And we met, we talked a little bit, and she actually knew one of my best friends. Still to this day, they went to school together. So I told her to come check out the other school that I was starting to attend, and I actually was her first match. I got her into NWS. So I got her into that promotion, and then I got her into WSU, and she just rolled along to the top. So I'm proud of these girls. Good.
Yeah, sometimes it just happens like that. You never know. I mean, you know, look at, you know, Nikki Rock. She's been in and out of there so many times, but they really don't treat her right for some reason.
Who was that, Nikki Rocks?
Yeah, Nikki Rocks, yeah.
Yeah, she's a talented girl. So, I mean, look at Awesome Kong. That's awesome. Well, you know, like, she went from TNA, and now she's doing WWE, which is well-deserved on her part, and she's doing a great job.
I didn't see her up there yet. What's she doing? Is she actually working with people, or?
They actually had her do a couple of vignettes that aired on commercial time, where there was like, she was holding a Barbie doll and she would pop the head off, and she would just laugh. And I missed the pay per view actually, but I heard that she walked out during Michelle McCool's match, and I think she hit her with an implant buster. I'm not sure, but she just takes her time with everything, and she just stalks all the girls, and obviously her name's Karma, so I feel like she's just going after the heels, like all the heels, because she did something on Monday Night Raw where Kelly had a match with Maryse that lasted for a couple of seconds before Karma came out, and Maryse was down, Kelly was like hidden in the corner, and then Karma just stared into Kelly's face and then hit Maryse with the implant buster, and then she just left. So it's definitely cool.
Yeah, I'm glad she got up there. She deserves it. I mean, she's a nice lady.
Yeah, she's awesome. She's very nice, very sweet.
Yeah, she was great when her and Amy working up in Booton, and when he used to wreck. I don't know if you were up there for those, when they used to wreck the place. You went out the street.
I wasn't around for WSU then, but I have all the DVDs. So yeah, I saw that match. It was wild.
Yeah, they lost the outside footage for some reason.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, they put a dent in somebody's truck out there.
Did they really?
Oh, yeah, it was a big dent. Like somebody's head got run into it. Yeah, they had some good stuff. Yeah, it's a shame they couldn't get the cage thing going on.
Yeah. But, she's doing bigger things. Good for her.
Yeah, that's good. Like to see people get up there where they should be.
Of course.
That's why I'd like to see WSU go national. I mean, it's got the potential to do it. It's just, you know, somebody's got to get some money behind it and let everybody do what they got to do, you know?
Oh, it definitely does have the potential. I give Mick a lot of credit for everything that he's put into that place, because the iPay-per-view, it's always a hit. And even though he has the iPay-per-view, you still see a lot of fans in the seats, which is happening because people could just order it offline. And people still do, but still, a lot of people rather go see it live also, but there's people out there who can't make it to a live show, so why not just order the pay-per-view? So, he definitely does have potential to get it national, like you said.
Yeah, because like everybody works, and it's all credible storylines, believable stuff. You know, you got Ray there too, and Ray's an old hand at booking, you know, from, you know, the JAP days and stuff.
Yes. They're both fabulous to work with. I love them both.
Oh, yeah. Great guys.
Yeah, definitely.
So let's lead up to the championship. What are your thoughts going into this thing?
My thoughts are, I've watched Mercedes work, and she is one tough bitch. And I'm just, like I said, I'm doing everything I can. I'm just training my butt off, and up until that point, I'm just going to give it all I've got. I'm going to work super hard to get that title, and I'm going to go above and beyond more than I ever have. So people are going to see a different side of me. Not like a cheating side, like bad, vindictive side, but they're going to see me actually want something more than ever.
You want it, and you actually want to earn it, is what you're saying this time. You don't want any outside help. You don't want any Rick Cataldos hanging around the ring or anything like that. Or, you know, you definitely just want to do it on your own.
Yeah, I want to prove a point to myself and prove a point to everyone that I can do things on my own, and that's exactly what I proved when I won at J-Cup, and that's exactly what I plan on proving when that world title shot comes on June 25th. So.
And if you can, like I said, if you can't be there in person, it's on Go Fight Live pay-per-view. I think it's only like $10. You can't go wrong with that. And
hell no.
If you get out to the Ace Arena, it's a great place. They got food. You know, it's real, like, tight atmosphere where you're not going to miss anything, unlike these big arenas. And
yeah.
That's always good. So definitely worth anything. I mean, I've had people come up from South Jersey just based on, you know, hearing the show. And it was like, it was funny because it was Amy that got him. Oh, we got to see Amy. I'm like, okay. So
yeah, Amy's great.
It's like 20 people that wouldn't have come up ordinarily. But, you know, once the word spreads, like I say, you know, people, you know, it's something special. That's definitely what it is.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely different to see it live.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to wish you some luck going into that. You know, I'm friends with you. I'm friends with Mercedes. I don't even want to pick sides because, it's too close to call. And I thank you for coming on and rebutting our little friend, the Boy Diva, and we'll definitely have you on again.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure.
And hopefully next time you speak with me, I'll be the WSU World Champion.
I'm going to be at that show. That'll probably be my last jersey show for anything for a while, but I'm definitely going to make that show, so I'll be there.
Awesome.
Okay.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks again, and have a good night now.
Take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Last week, I had emailed the promoter of Saturday Nightmares, Mike Lisa. I was trying to get him to call in because we were live last week. And unfortunately, he didn't call in, so I couldn't make the announcement. Most people who are on the net would know this, but for those of you who don't, added to the already stellar lineup, including Bruce Dern, Karen Black, Sid Haig, is now Martin Landau from Ed Wood. Martin Landau, the Academy Award-winning actor from Ed Wood, and other things, is going to be at Saturday Nightmares all 3 days. And people might say, well, you know, okay, he did Ed Wood, but, you know, he did all these other, you know, really, you know, great things. And I'm like, mon contraire. He did great things and he did, you know, not so great things. He was in a spaghetti western with Telly Savalas called Helltown. He was in that slasher movie Alone in the Dark with him, Jack Palance, and that big guy that was in Stir Crazy. I can't remember, Edith Van, whatever the fuck his name is.
Right, right.
Yeah. And he was in that. And that remember the one. Now here's a good one. Remember a film called Without Warning?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay, tell me that wasn't a template for Predator.
Oh, it was in a lot of ways. I think they definitely saw it.
Yeah, but you know, again, him and Palance were in that. So you know, he did a lot of like you know. I guess at one point, after all, you know, he was in what Mission Impossible, then Space 1999.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, he did a bunch of stuff. But like I said, the spaghetti western thing and that. So I guess that was like in mid, you know, getting in between the Woody Allen stuff and some other, you know, his better films that he did. But he was always a great character actor. Always, you know, a great heavy, too. That's what he started out as, a heavy.
So, true.
But, you know, this is going to be real interesting. You know, I think June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. First weekend in June. Meadowlands Sheridan. www.saturdaynightmares.com. Also found out that Ken Faree is going to lead a zombie walk across Route 3 to Giant Stadium.
Really?
First time ever, a zombie walk. You sure you don't want to come out for this, dude?
Man, I know I want to come out for it. It's just, can I come out?
Well, fucking come out then, man. It's like, I'm holding the bag here. I'm going to be in between fucking moving and doing this. This is nuts.
It is nuts.
I need help. I need help.
You do, man.
I do.
Damn it.
You need help.
For real.
Oh, you know, I gotta give a shout out because an old friend of mine found me on Facebook. See, Facebook is good for something.
Something.
Brandy. I shouldn't say people's last names here because people go fucking nuts anyway. But her name is Brandy. She was in this video, Satan's Schoolgirls, and she does modeling, and she was in Unconventional when we shot that. That's where I met her, and she's big into 70s horror, and she's got a Facebook page, but I'm not going to say her last name because that wouldn't be polite.
I see.
But, yeah, but I, you know, used to run into each other on and off for a couple of years, and then she's not in Jersey anymore. She's in New York, but yeah, actually, we're going to have her on, you know, to talk about what she's been doing because she's got a little production company she was telling me about. So, you know, hey, more power to women in horror.
I am all about it.
Because the men we got suck.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, I mean, who's good anymore, really? Who's really good?
It'll drive you nuts.
Yeah. And on the other front, this is old news by now, but last Sunday we took out Osama bin Laden. Thank God for that, finally. But, you know, my little specter of my, you know, weirdness comes up, too, about why didn't we take him alive when we could have, and, you know, suck him out for all the information, or come up and pump full of sodium pentothal and shit and get him to roll over on just about everybody in the fucking universe. But I don't know. You know, I'm not the one who makes the decisions, but, you know, I commend the Navy SEALs. What a great, great fucking outfit they are. I mean, just to get in there. And the Pakistani Army has to be the dumbest motherfuckers on the planet because we were in and out and they didn't fucking know about it.
Then, yeah, that was pretty quick.
That raised another thing, too. That fucker was there for, what, 6 years and they didn't know about this? We could really use that $1 billion in aid you motherfuckers get for ourselves. So guess what? I hope Obama does the right thing and just turns around and says, you know something? You're fucking scumbags. What was our deal? Remember the deal is we don't deal with nations that harbor terrorists? Remember that whole deal?
Yeah, one time.
But crank that motherfucker up. That thing's still got to be in effect. They harbored a terrorist. As far as I'm concerned, you know, the government knowingly. They had to know it was there. Come on, man. Fucking 7-Eleven right across the street. What the fuck? Well, the guy was doing was buying Rossiter chickens and Twinkies for all these years.
That's funny.
That's all. And you know something? Fuck them people. They're a bunch of sick motherfuckers. Did you hear the thing that wife he shot? That was shot with, you know, standing in front of him. Or, I don't know, shielding him, or he threw her in front, whatever. She was a gift to him when she was 15 years old.
Jeez.
Yeah. These are the sick motherfuckers we're dealing with. You know something? Turn that whole area into a parking lot. Really.
There you go.
I'm sick of it. Sick of it. It's fucking miserable 7-Eleven jockeys. I can't take it anymore.
It's you know, to make you crazy.
We make deals with fucking scumbags, and like we've been funneling billions of dollars in them because they have nukes and shit. God.
That's
what a
crazy
fucking mess.
It is a mess.
But you know something? It's closure in a way, but like somebody says, you know, I guess that there's going to be a big debate on this about, you know, whether they should have shown photos of the bodies and stuff, and there's already been screwed up shit by Photoshop bouncing around in net. But one person said it best. He got a decent burial at sea. All his victims wound up in a landfill in fucking Staten Island.
True.
So where's the justice? Except these fucking crabs are probably eating his fucking eyeballs out of his head as we speak.
There you go.
Yeah. Sharks won't go near him. They, you know, it's professional courtesy. But, yeah, it's fitting that he should sink to the bottom of the sea and be consumed by the fucking sea vermin. The crabs, the lobsters, the fucking jellyfish and squids and whatever fucking man-eating fucking vermin's down there. God. Or he probably just dissolved. You know what they should have done? They should have just dumped him in the fucking Gulf of Mexico and then be coated with the lube he fucking sold us back in the day.
Well, there you go.
Fucked up. You know, they made the right decision. They finally did something. The weird part is today, the president's in New York and former President Bush was invited but declined. I wonder why. Because this guy did in 2 years what you couldn't do in fucking eight.
Exactly.
Or maybe there was a reason. This is where my suspicious nature comes in. I fucking Bush, something about him is crooked, and a lot about him is crooked, actually. But here's the thing. Remember at one point in this whole thing, they supposedly had him cornered somewhere, and then all of a sudden we pulled back to bomb Iraq?
Right.
Yeah, there's always this fucking conspiracy theory that he was in on, and I fucking believe it. I honestly do. I think this fucker's got blood on his hands, not only Iraqi blood, but American blood, too, and a lot of it. So,
I don't know, man. I try to think about it, but then I kind of think it boggles my mind too much, and I can't think about it.
Your head hurts.
It does.
Yeah.
Makes you crazy.
Yeah, but, yeah, and then, you know, you got all these other fuckers, that douchebag that actually burned a Koran and all this other, you know, something, all these fucking guys, you know, when is it? It's May. Isn't the rapture or the end of the world supposed to come in May or something now?
Yeah.
For these Baptist fundamentalist jerk-off douchebag fuckheads?
Right, I don't know.
Well, if that's the truth, they would be swept off the planet, correct?
Right.
So, we can only hope.
Gotcha.
Because, you know, if there is a rapture, they're certainly not going to take yours truly. No siree.
Makes sense.
I know. But, yeah, I can't wait to move out of here, dude. It's going to be wonderful.
I know it is going to be nice for you.
Yeah, I know. Little house in the suburbs. Maybe I'll raise chickens in the back to piss people. I don't know. Oh, I saw two great fucking movies, man. Hobo with a Shotgun.
Great movie.
Yeah. Rutger Hauer. Wow. I mean, you know. Somebody told me this was the European Grindhouse trailers from the movie Grindhouse or some.
I don't know.
You're typing in the background, so you should know.
I don't know.
Well, anyway, that's what somebody told me. Did you see it?
Oh, yeah. Brilliant.
Yeah. Great stuff. I saw another one. I don't know if I was supposed to see this or not, but somebody gave me a copy of this. He wrote on the top to kill the Irishman or kill the Irishman or something. Did you hear about that?
No.
Okay, but on the DVD I got, it says Bulletproof Gangster. It's a story of Danny Green from out in Cleveland. This whole mob thing. It's fucking great, man. Definitely worth a look.
Huh.
It's got a who's who of people in it, too. Christopher Walken, Paul Sorvino, Vinnie Jones. I know I'm missing people. I'm stumped. But, fuck, who else? Bunch of people. The guy who was in Sopranos, Bobby Bacala, he was in it. Yeah.
Well, that's weird.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, he's great.
Yeah. Really a bunch of cool fucking people. Because I was sitting there going, I never heard of this thing. And I put it in, and somebody told me it ain't supposed to be out till summer. And I'm like, okay. Great flick, though. Highly recommend it. You see it.
Now, what were you asking me one more time about Hobo with a Shotgun? I may have missed some of that because I was, like, fixing our stream here.
I said, did you see it?
Of course I saw it. But you were saying something about, I don't know, something.
What?
You asked me about. Now, you said you knew that was part of the Grindhouse deal?
Yeah, yeah. Well, somebody told me they had different trailers overseas for that movie. That
well,
was one.
They had different trailers all from Canada and all overseas, except for in America. And that movie, Hobo with the Shotgun, was one of the trailers. It was a contest, and they won the contest, and they put that on all over the world, except here. Yeah. Because here, someone got offended by it.
How can you get offended by it? I mean, it is an offensive film, but that's what we want, you know?
Well, that's true.
I mean, it's, you know, it's sufficiently fucked up enough to warrant, you know, warrant a viewing. You know, I have to say that.
Oh, me too. Me too. It's great. I agree 100%.
It's just one of those things. But, you know, it, you, you're not going to find that on Showtime. That's for sure.
True.
We need more films like that.
True.
We need to put our old character actors back to work.
Man, for real.
So we can enjoy them while they're here.
I agree. I agree. Yeah.
It's all good. Yeah, there was something. Oh, there was something else I caught on cable with Ray Liotta. Something called, I think it was Control. You ever see that?
Yeah, I did.
That was pretty good, too.
That was a good flick. Ray Liotta's pretty, he's like one of those unsung actors, man. I really like him.
Yeah, he's one of the good guys. You know, he's one of the guys you remember. You know, he no matter if he's an ensemble thing like that. Remember that thing, Cop Town and stuff.
Right.
He just sort of steals the show. Identity. He's really good and shit. He, actually, you know, remember he was in that flick with Lance Henriksen, Escape.
True.
No Escape. Yeah, that was a great movie too.
It was. I agree.
Pretty fucking twisted.
Definitely twisted.
What was that guy? Stuart Wilson. Bad guy? Yeah, Stuart Wilson was great. I really want to be in charge. I just really want to be in charge.
I know, it's awesome, isn't it? Stuff. I love that stuff, dude. I love it.
Great stuff. Oh, excuse me.
It is. It's great, great stuff.
One of those rough weeks. Oh, we don't know whether we're going to, you know, fans have been calling in about this hard Dark Guy's displeasure chest. They want to know, you know, is this going to happen?
It is going to happen. It is going to happen.
But when?
Well, I'm hoping it'll happen. Well, they may even have one as early as this weekend, maybe.
Well, I'm available if you want me to, you know, go back into my role as host and sexual advisor.
I think it can work. I think it can work.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I don't know who we're going to have as regulars because you said these guys don't want to drive anymore. Maybe we'll have to pick another crop of disgruntled, sexually frustrated old men, you know?
Well, it might work out. It might work out.
I know. It might be a couple of people we can call, but I don't know if they have fucking regular cell phones or they're still living with their parents.
Yeah, I don't know either.
how about this concept for a new show? Sexual advice from people who never get laid.
There you go. There you go.
There we go. All these dumbass talk shows about, you know. I don't understand, you know, people, you know, even with porn and, you know, whatever. It just, you know, it's become very dehumanizing. And people are going, oh, you're saying that? Well, there's a reason I'm saying that is because, I don't know, for some reason, for shits and giggles, I just was cleaning up and I found a copy of Taboo 3. And I said, oh, God, I haven't seen this for a while. Let me just compare something. And it was, that was some pretty good stuff. And then compared to today's stuff, it's like, fuck, who cares?
Make you crazy, won't it?
Yeah, at least people knew how to act back then.
True.
If I'm insulting any wannabe porn starlets, I'm sorry. I truly am, because I know that, you know, due to the economy of this country, that, you know, the one thing everybody has to do, I guess, is suck dick. So. That's going to be the new picture. When they issue the new currency, that's going to be on the dollar bill. George Washington with a dick in his mouth. That's what will be on the dollar bill.
Gotcha.
Boom, boom, boom.
Very nice.
I know.
Very scary.
Yeah. With a postage stamp.
That's awesome.
Yeah. That'd be funny. I told you there was dollar bills with, like, fucking, you know, blowjobs and people getting laid on them and shit one time, didn't I?
Yeah, I think you told me that horrifying story at one time.
Did I ever tell it on the air?
I don't know if you did.
You wanted the sorted story shit back because somebody else emailed me about telling fucked up stories. Okay, here's one. Somebody, and this was back at, during the bicentennial, 76. One of these porn guys had printed up fake dollar bills that had, you know, we called them the cocksucker dollars because he was usually had some chick giving somebody a blowjob where Washington's head was. Now, they were like $25 for 100, but you could sell them for $1 a piece. All right?
Yep, yep.
Or, you know, somewhere, I think. Just figure that figure. No, actually, I'm trying to think I'm wrong. I don't know what the fuck they cost me, but here's the segue. The original ones, we were drunk down in the subway, and you needed, you know, to get change.
Yeah.
There wasn't token. I don't think there was tokens back then. It was change. You get change dollars or some shit. Anyway, I stuck one of these in by accident. I got change of it, so I stuck like 50, and it had a ton of shit quarters coming up. Yeah, that was pretty nuts. But yeah, they were. They were actually they run the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Somebody handed him one. Yeah, somebody handed him one, and his expression changed. Oh yeah, big time. That was some funny stuff back then.
Yeah.
I guess they never made it to Kansas City, though.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But that does that surprise you, really? Come on, really? No. I mean, dude, no offense, but no.
Did you ever get the box that curses out there? It said 4 curse phrases?
I think we did get that, yeah.
The black box, that was a great item.
I think we did get that one.
Yeah. Talk about something that flew off the shelves, man. You couldn't get them in New York. That was so crazy. You'd walk up down Broadway trying to buy them wholesale. You couldn't find any of them. I was lucky if I got 6 at one shot.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because you get $20 a piece for them back then. No problem. They cost you 11, depending on who you hit. I mean, I got them for 11 once. I got them for 13 once. And I got them for 9 once. But you never got a lot of them because everybody was grabbing them.
Weird.
Oh, yeah. $20 for something that cursed at you 4 times. Yeah, great stuff.
That is awesome, dude. This goes to show, though, people will buy anything.
Eh, gotta love the 70s and 80s. True. I mean, there's probably dumb shit around now that I don't even know about, but maybe there's some things I shouldn't know about.
True enough.
That may seem, rather. Well, I don't know. Well, I hope all is right in the world because it's a little tense around here. You know, they got heavy security. Well, the president was in New York today, as I said before. So, but it's just, you know, they're expecting something.
Exactly.
I don't think it's going to be right away.
Who knows?
I don't know. I hate these people. Really, terrorists suck. You know, another thing, too. You know, I got my own beef with this whole thing because that whole deal with 9/11 indirectly or actually directly led to the death of my guy who I considered a brother, Norman. You know, a friend and a mentor, and he was like a brother to me, even though we fought like fucking brothers and shit like you and I do, you know. So
that's awesome.
He was like that to me, and, you know, a couple other people that worked there died of, you know, some fucking related shit. So I got no fucking love lost for any of these cocksuckers. They should just fucking nuke them back into the fucking Stone Age, these miserable camel jockeys. You know, I'm not saying we're 100% right in our dealings either, because, you know, we probably suck too, but we don't fucking fly planes into buildings. We don't, as far as I know, you know, there's been a lot of fuck-ups over here because you don't know who's who and what's what, but I don't think we ever purposely went out to kill women and children. And that's, you know, that's another thing, too. These people have no qualms about fucking just slaughtering anybody in the name of whatever they fucking believe in. So, you know something? Fuck you. I'm happy the cocksucker's dead. I wish they could have displayed his body before they made it fucking fish bait. They could have went down to Barnegat Bay and caught some nice big fucking blue crabs with it, though. I'll tell you that.
True.
Coming into the fucking season, you get them big motherfuckers, and they, you know, that skanky bastard would probably draw them like fucking flies to shit. So
there you go.
Another opportunity missed. You know, Jersey blue crabs.
There you go.
I don't know. Like I said, the octopuses are probably sucking his fucking bones dry now. Miserable prick. But yeah, everybody's got their issues with this, especially if you lived in the area, because odds are if you lived in the area, you did lose somebody. So it does suck. And, you know, in my mind, there'll never be closure until these motherfuckers are driven off the face of the earth.
True.
And that's my public service announcement for tonight. The Sex, Dope, and Cheap Thrill Show returns to the Parkside Lounge, 317 East Houston Street in New York City. Join our host, Eric Danville, as his guests, Bill Plimpton, and Justine Jolie of Penthouse. come down for a couple hours of some revealing Q&As and other information, just like we had Vanessa Del Rio down there a couple weeks ago. But anyway, that's going to be May 11th, 317 East Houston Street, the Parkside Lounge, 8 p.m. You can get your tickets online, or you can buy them right at the door. Only $10. Pretty good for a sex, dope, and cheap thrill show. So we'll see you there.
This is so fucking professional. You know, normal radio wouldn't do this shit.
That's why it's no fun. Normal radio's boring.
I pick my fucking ass on the air and get away with it. You know? That's right. Sorry if it was any sensitive WSU fans that stayed past Brittany's interview. But this is how we roll sometimes. And it's like,
we roll, man.
Yeah. See, when you're in transit like I am, like I'm just waiting for the fucking email, phone call, just tell me to come up there and sign the fucking papers and get this thing on the road. You really can't plan too much out in advance. That's the fucking problem.
True.
Plus, I really have to go. I'm just fucking tired of this shit. I need some kind of a fucking life.
I don't blame you.
So.
No one blames you, Pete. We've been telling you for years.
Visit and set a spell, you know.
Take your shoes off.
Yeah. And until next week, and I don't know what we're going to do next week, we'll do something interesting, though. Y'all stay sick, you hear?
The boom!